something from the far reaches of the galaxy.
Oh, what is it?
Steve-O and Teo in the AM brings you Theology Thursday with Pastors Brian Nixon and Jared Petro. Get your questions in at studio@star88.fm.
Good morning. Welcome to Theology Thursday. Steve-O, Teo, Steven, Bill Gilfil, Chip, fake Troy Dave, real Troy, B-Nix, and Jared.
Hey.
Dear Lord, help us. There are too many people in here.
This is the way it should be, actually, right
this
here.
Is really
I love
how
it.
Should be.
This is how like it should be.
Clan.
The table, every bit. Chip, this is Chip. Put this on our list right here.
Yeah, this is what we need for Theology Thursday every week. We're going to be broadcasting live from Faith Comes by Hearing. You know, if you're just joining us, we've been broadcasting live from Faith Comes by Hearing, this incredible local ministry. You can find out information right at our website, actually, star88.fm. We're sitting in this room staring at the globe and seeing the far reaches of, what happens when people are faithful, when they hear the calling of God in their life and they do something about it. And so we're just seeing the millions impacted digitally around the world. Not even digitally. We're talking to Gil about the Proclaimer, this solar-powered cranked unit where the Word of God is brought out in their native language. And so just the focus this morning, we wanted to talk a lot about what it means to follow Jesus, truly. You know, Theology Thursday, yeah. Usually we dig in and we get the like, oh, the Bema Seed of blah, blah, blah. Today we're going to talk simply about what it means to follow Jesus, because there is a room full of people who have completely different stories, and yet the common core is this: we believe that Jesus is God.
Yeah.
He is Lord, man.
That's right.
And we all pursue Him passionately.
Mm-hmm.
And so we're going to talk about how we got to this place. And again, we've got Pastor Troy in studio, huh? And so we're going to be hanging out. We may even make Chip talk at some point.
Oh, we have to.
He's in the
for
corner
sure.
Hanging
Come on.
Out, just like, oh,
he's a theologian,
you know? And
for
it's
sure.
Like, you know
so.
What? It's Theology Thursday. We're just going to get everybody involved today. But really excited about this, to be here. Now, talk a little bit, Jared, about what
yeah.
got this going.
You know, I think knowing that you guys are going to be here, Faith Comes by Hearing, and just thinking about just as, you know, the power of how the Word of God goes out from this ministry here, thinking about the importance of faith. A friend of mine just actually yesterday from Texas had emailed me or texted me a question. He's deciding whether he should go to Dallas Theological or not. And then it came down to a question of him asking me, hey, how did you discern what it meant to, and he used my name, Jarrett, follow me. And I told him, it kind of like stopped me, because that's not a question you can really answer right away. I said, let me think about that. But there are phases in our life, I think, and that's what we'll get to, is, you know, just as much as faith is a key, you know, a component essential of the Christian life, there needs to be the obedience, and the act of that is the following. And when Jesus said, as he made his disciples, come follow me, I believe, you know, that's what began to stir in my heart. And I believe it fits with the theme today of thinking about those that are affected around the world with the Word of God, which is alive and powerful. It's the living Word. And so it should engage our faith.
It really should.
You know, so to follow him.
And what's interesting is you talk about this, fake Troy Dave earlier was talking about this incredible story. As we are, I keep saying spoiled, but let's be honest, as American Christians,
right.
The idea, I grew up in a Christian home, and I was quote unquote fed the Word of God from a very early age, mm-hmm. but it didn't mean that I truly followed him. I didn't seek after him. I wasn't earnest in my walk with the Lord growing up. It was just culturally what I did. My mom was Baptist. We went mm-hmm. to a Baptist church. This is what I do. And yet, man, David, you were telling this incredible story off the air about in different cultures, you know, we're spoon-fed it. A lot of Americans would write down on their little survey that they are Christians and yet probably don't follow Jesus in any way, shape, or form. And yet there are people around the globe who are hungry for the Word of God, so much so that would you share that mm-hmm. story with us?
Literally hungry,
yeah,
for
literally
this story.
Yeah, literally hungry for the Word of God.
Yeah, absolutely. And just like you were saying, it's just an incredible bout of faith. We have all these incredible partners, different ministries, different churches. And so as these translation organizations are finishing the text, they're taking Bibles text Bibles into the field, and they're leaving them with the people. And then as they're coming back, we just have a couple stories. And one of the stories was they came back into this village, and the people were literally tearing the pages out of this Bible and putting it into their soup. And so the missionaries said, what are you doing? And they said, well, you told us that we need to get the Word of God inside of us, but we can't read.
Wow.
And so like, oh, now they're getting it. They're clicking. It's saying, oh, I understand the importance of an audio Bible, something in their mother tongue, something that they understand. Another one is they would buy four Bibles. Anytime they're building a house or laying a slab of foundation, and they'd buy these Bibles and actually press them into the concrete in the four corners. And again, the missionary was, what are you doing? What are you doing? And they said, well, you told us we needed to build our house upon a strong foundation, but we can't read. Or another story, they're literally putting the Bible under the pillow. You want to talk about faith? They can't read, but they're putting it under their pillow, hoping that somehow the words will move into their mind and really take part of their spirit into their heart just from sleeping on it. Or they'll hang them from the rafters just knowing that this book is holy and hoping that having the book hanging in their house will do something for them. I mean, so talk about faith. Right. Americans, just like you said, we're absolutely spoon-fed, but we don't understand that level of faith.
I wonder how many people listening are immediately convicted by the fact that they probably have about 6 or 7 different translations, their ESV, their King James, their what, just sitting on a bookshelf at their house, or on their phone, and when was the last time they picked any of those up, you know, and they're just kind of sitting there, I got my father's Bible, inherited, and cool, sitting on my bookshelf, haven't picked it up, you know, and yet there are people around the globe who wish that they could read these words, knowing the power behind them, and yet because of illiteracy or because of the culture, they can't read the Word of God, which is another reason why, obviously, we are here today highlighting this very important, very incredible ministry, Faith Comes by Hearing. If you would like to partner, star88.fm for that. You can click on the banner, because we just want to get the Word of God out. This isn't, as we talk, it's Theology Thursday, which is funny, because usually that's what we're talking is theology, and somebody's got some crazy question, and well, the Calvinist said this, well, the Arminian said, right. And yet today it's like, no, dude, the Word of God. Let's just get the Word of God out to
Well, to and what people. I love is, hearing those stories, I think of, this whole ministry is based most likely off Romans 10:17, that faith comes by hearing, hearing by the Word of God, that it's the Word of God, by hearing the Word of God, that actually transforms the heart and the life. And I mean, just think about how the Word of God was read, even the Old Testament. You think about Ezra, or one of the priests, as it would stand up Ezekiel, where he would declare the Word of God, and lives were changed by hearing the Word of God. Now, we do that Sundays, through churches, through the Bible teaching, whether it's expositional or topical or whatever, on Sunday mornings. But how much more when someone's in a country hearing for the first time in their language, hearing, the Word of God, and the seed of faith is actually like planted in their heart, and then they respond by following the Lord, and there's just this awe and wonder of like, what does it mean to truly follow Christ? And I mean, it's got to be revolutionary. I mean, and what's cool is that we live in 2015, and that is happening right now around the world. So,
well, we got a room full of people, and we're talking about what it means to truly follow Jesus Christ. I'm going to put you on the spot. You've got a microphone in your hand, okay. Stephen. As we talk about it, what it means to follow him, and these people groups that are hearing the Lord, the Word of God, for the first time, talk a little bit about your personal testimony. Talk about when you heard God and what that calling looked like in your life.
As far as like salvation, how I got saved.
Yeah.
I grew up in a Christian home, and it wasn't till I went on a mission trip to the Ukraine that I kind of found Jesus. It was with an organization called Teen Mania, and I wasn't really walking with God at all. When you're presented a trip to go across the world, it looks more as a teenager, like, yes, a free vacation grandma's paying for. This is, thank you, grandma, I got to get out of here. I was looking through the brochure, not like feeling a spiritual calling, but more like, where do I want to vacation this summer, So I decided to go to the Ukraine, since my family is from there. And, but when I got to Miami, you know, I was this long-haired Nirvana loving kid. And so when I got there, we were trying out for the drama, because that's kind of what Teen Mania does. They were like, well, you're going to play Jesus. And that's when I was like, oh, man. What do I do in this situation? You know, just kidding. You know, like, just after every drama, I was like, I don't really believe in this guy. So I, you know, it was one of those things where I went up to the hotel room and I just had it out with God. I just was like, you know, I don't believe in you, but the fact that I was using a conversational piece, like, I don't right. believe in you. Yeah. I'm talking, you know, something inside was like, yeah, you do. Like, right. obviously, right. you know, or I wouldn't be, you know, so, but it was a great experience, because it was finally, the faith was mine, you know. And from there, you know, that's you know, when I felt the calling to just not only just serve him, but you know, even for me, I felt like I was called to be a missionary, and not just on that trip, but in the future. And luckily for me, like, God allowed me to go into all the world and preach the gospel, and through music, and now obviously working here at Calvary Chapel. But so it was an incredible calling, and the fact that like, I grew up in the church, I think that's a common thread, you know, among a lot of people that but it was never their faith. It was either a social life, or it could have been, it was their parents' faith. But I just, you know, I challenge everybody to kind of reassess their own faith, you know, and mm-hmm. to see, because it's a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. And the key word there being personal, it's yeah. your faith. And so really that's how kind of the inception of God tugging on my life.
Well, and how many of us had friends who had this incredible story, had something happen to them, this life-changing story? And so you're like waiting, like, all right, Lord, I need this. I need to have that moment where you punch me in the face, or because you're just trying to get through it or fake it growing up, like, you know, in the church, not having a full understanding because you weren't passionately pursuing him. And yet, you know, I immediately think of Jeremiah, where it's like, man, if you earnestly seek me, you will find me.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
We have an incredible promise there that if we actually seek him. And so it was really rad to hear, like, you finally just kind of quote unquote had it out with God. Like, all right, bro, let's do this. Yeah. Gloves off. We have to. And I think we really do need to do that, because until then, you're right. It's not ours. It's not personal. It's not real. It's passed down to us. It's our grandparents. It's it's our parents. It's whatever.
You know, it reminds me of Stephen was just talking about that. It reminds me of Samuel. And you know, so often when you think about when God, you know, does call and you're called to follow him, I think it does begin with hearing the voice of God, like you said, you know. And I think of like someone like Samuel, who kept hearing the voice of God and getting up in the middle of the night. And, you know, God, you know, I believe, as, you know, he is speaking, you know, it talks about the word of God became flesh and dwelt among us. We read that in John's gospel. And the word of God, you know, dwelt among us full of grace and truth. And it was, to me, it's like the word of God is, you know, as he is speaking through his word, which is powerful, going back to hearing his voice, that's almost like the initial step of, I would even challenge anybody listening that, are you truly hearing the voice of God? Because when you hear it, like when Jesus was walking on the shores of Galilee and said, hey, Peter, hey, Matthew, hey, come follow me. They heard his voice, literally heard his voice. And as he called them, when we hear that voice, you have an option at that moment to either run the other way or heed the voice. So I think I would say in two steps, if you will, there's the hearing of God's word and then the heeding of God's voice to make a decision. Do I follow him at this moment? What does that mean? What does that imply? And obviously there's different experiences in this room and for our listeners of that. But I believe it does begin with hearing the voice of God, truly.
Yeah, absolutely. It's amazing being here at Faith Comes by Hearing. We didn't plan it this way for Theology Thursday discussion. It just organically happened because God's amazing, and that's usually what happens. Real Troy, I have to ask, as we're talking about the Word of God, and I'm staring at the totally chained up Word of God in front of you.
yeah, we got to post a picture
have,
of that
yeah,
later
to talk
on.
About
for sure.
this.
That's cool.
This padlocked, chained up Word of God. I don't even know how that. I mean, I guess that's the best way to describe it.
Well, I'm literally holding a Bible that has chains around it with an actual lock, and the only way I can articulate it over the radio is for your listeners to imagine. Okay, you've come to faith, and you now have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. And imagine if we said, okay, you can't have your mobile app, you can't have a Bible app, In fact, you can't even have a Bible. Now, I want you to go live for the next 10 years, and I want you to grow in your faith and know Jesus Christ. Mm-hmm. Because that's what happens to 50% of the world. People don't realize this, but half the world's illiterate. They cannot read. Mm-hmm. And this whole reading thing, it's only been around about 400 years. The Gutenberg Press has only been about 400 years. So why is it that we come in, we evangelize, and then we hand people a tract? I said, okay, that's cool, but they can't read it. And think about those of your listeners that can read but don't read well, or how about those that can read but just don't, right? They just don't read. Jesus said in John 17, he talked about, I have given them your word, Father, the words you gave to me. Mm-hmm. Sanctify them through thy truth. And so Jesus taught us and talked about that we were to teach our teach disciples all that he had commanded us. How are you going to grow in your faith if you don't know his word? Mm-hmm. John chapter 1 says, in the beginning was the word was with God, and the word was God.
Yes, that's right.
And then it goes on to say, and then the word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the only begotten of the Father. To know the word of God is to know Jesus.
That's right.
That's why in Romans 10:17 you're talking about, Pastor, mm-hmm. that faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. It's not talking about your audio in your ear. Mm-hmm. It's literally talking about faith comes by knowing, first of all, the complete, total, the logos word of God. That's where we got the Bible and the collection of scripture and the holy canon. So we know that we can have an understanding of the word of God, the logos, but then it says faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word. That other word, hearing, mm-hmm. talks about rhema, revelation, quickened.
That's right.
That quickened word from his complete understanding, his written word, now all of a sudden becomes real to you. So think about the time when you were reading a scripture and all of a sudden you've read it a lot, but all of a sudden it meant something to you because it was your mm-hmm. circumstance. It was an answer to your problem.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe it was a wisdom from God to help you in that business or at school or in whatever you're dealing with. That's rhema.
Yeah.
That's when
revelation.
Yes. And then your life is transformed. Yeah. So why is it so important what we're doing to get the Bible in an audio form mm-hmm. and putting it in your pocket? Because if you'll let me just, you know, once I asked the Lord about that, why is it so important for us to record these Bibles in these languages like Quechua? And what I felt like, I felt the impression from the Spirit of God say to me in my mind, not audible, but in my heart, I felt like he showed me a balloon. And you know how when you blow into a balloon, psh, 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 and that balloon begins to grow? You know, what's really interesting, it's as if that balloon starts taking shape when I breathe into it, right? And that balloon is now expanded. And we know from science that if I blow into a balloon, my very DNA is in my breath and in that balloon. And so if I were to let the air out of the balloon, right, you could analyze that breath and you could say, wow, Troy's DNA is in that balloon. In the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. God's Word, the breath of life, his very DNA is in it. And so when we record a language in audio, what we're really doing is we're giving the Spirit of God and what he wants to say to a people group, we're giving it shape. Just like my breath gives a balloon shape. When we record the Word of God in an audio form where people can hear it, all of a sudden we've given the Spirit of God shape among the Quechua. And now he can talk to them mm-hmm. and he can express himself to them wow. in a way that's uniquely their culture, not our culture, you know? That's why it's so important.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hey, do you want to join Theology Thursday?
Do you have coffee? If you have coffee, I would.
No, that is one of the best illustrations, honestly, I've heard. And I think for anybody listening, that's a great illustration.
Yeah, that was incredible.
Right?
That was hilarious because I was looking at the four of us going, one of us is going to have to talk after this, and I don't want it to be me.
Yeah.
I am floored right now. So
that's good, man.
Yeah, absolutely amazing. It is Theology Thursday on the all-new Star 88. Man, Steve-O, Teo, we got Stephen Christian in here. We got Petro in here. We've got real Troy. We got fake Troy David. We've got Chip. We got Bill Gilfil.
Yeah.
A room of people.
passionately stoked on the Word of God. And man, that just fired me up.
I do, you know, and actually it made me want to talk a little bit more about Revelation. You know, Stephen, you were talking about that experience that you had. Maybe you can, maybe there's something comes to your mind. Let's say as you start to walk with the Lord, even I think about how you, you know, started a band, and obviously you got a platform, an opportunity to share the gospel on a front that very few people have in their entire lifetime. And let's talk a little bit about Revelation, because I think as Pastor was mentioning over here, that is powerful. Let's talk about that. What you say, so you're following the Lord. Let's say you're walking with the Lord for a period of time. How does somebody, as they continue to follow the Lord, talk about Revelation? How does God continue to reveal himself?
Absolutely. Yeah. You know, like right afterwards, after I found my own salvation, I was one of those invigorated new Christians,
right.
You know.
Yeah,
so honestly, the first thing I did was go to Dallas Theology, that college there, and go to the campus and walk around and felt like, God, is this what you're calling me to? Am I going to the mission field? And do I have to come here and study? And I was like, God, give me a sign. And ironically, there's one of those billboard advertising that says, are you still waiting for a sign? And it was right next to me. And I'm like, oh, this is it,
this
God.
This is the literal sign.
This is the literal sign that I'm looking for. But as I went home and you're talking about Revelation, you know, I just never felt that, even though there was a physical sign that said that, I never felt the peace. And I feel like that's where, in my life, that's where the revelation comes from, the peace that passes all understanding, that kind of stillness that just, you know, this is what you need to do. And I don't think that God, you know, in my life, you know, it says in the Bible that, you know, he will be a lamp unto your feet and a light unto the path. But thank God that it's not a spot. Like, because if he would have showed me years down the road,
right.
You know, and I like that God kind of gives you, just orders your steps, not orders the entire existence of your humanity or the man, it would just be overwhelming. And I love that God, he knows you. He knows that we're finite creatures. And when he reveals things, you know, maybe some of you guys can handle it, but I can't, you know, like I need just God, just show me the next step. Just show me A to B, because man, I don't know. I don't want to get overwhelmed, but I just want to just order my steps and let me be faithful to, you know, continue in these steps, and I'll pursue that with all my heart. Mm-hmm. But so I think that revelation is different for each one of us. But how beautiful that God reveals himself in multitude of ways. The Word of God, obviously,
mm-hmm.
but through other people, the counsel of the wise, you know,
sure.
just surrounding yourself. And also for me, just that stillness, that peace again that passes all understanding. Mm-hmm.
I remember as we talk about the Word of God impacting our lives and how we can read it 1,000 times and it
oh yeah,
you know,
that
was awesome.
Different
yeah.
seasons, and it God just knows when you need that, like, thump, if you will, of a certain scripture. It immediately brought me to a time in my life about 4 years ago where man, I was just searching, feeling like, you know, whether you grew up in the church or you are a new believer, we're still human beings, and we're still going to fall short of the glory of God. We're still going to fail. And I remember, man, I failed. And I seriously thought, well, that's it. You know, I'm done. and you know, of course, then people are going, no, his mercies are new every day, and there's no condemnation for those in Christ Jesus, Romans 8:1. And people were trying to just be really, you know, solid friends and that good counsel
trying
that we need.
To be encouraging,
but somehow, some ways, we can put these walls, we can put these barriers, we can put these things up and go, you don't understand my story, though. You don't understand what I've done. You don't understand where I've been. You can't relate to me. Because for as dirty as you are, I've got stories for days, right? And we all have those friends who will probably still use that excuse. And I just remember very clearly, I was reading in 1 Corinthians, and it's a verse that I just continually go back to that continues to rock my world. Because I think we all as humans have that ability to say, well, yeah, yes, but me, but you don't understand me, but you know, yeah, if only you could see. And God kind of revealed himself in his word in 1 Corinthians 10:13 to me that said, no temptation has overtaken you that's not common to man. Hmm. And God, and then it goes on to say that God is faithful. And with that, you know, sure. He will always provide a way of escape. And I'd read it 1,000 times mm-hmm. and always kind of brushed over it and gotten right to the, like, always provide a way of escape. And it's like, yeah, but where was that rope this time?
Right.
Where was the ladder this time? Where was that freaking helicopter with the spotlight that was like, run, you know? And yet I always skipped the first part that said, no temptation has overtaken you that's not common to man. Mm. And I realized that there is nothing that I'll experience in my life that God isn't like, oh, what? Oh, right. I didn't know that was going to happen.
Yeah.
I didn't
know.
Take
you by surprise.
Oh,
yeah.
Wow, you're the first human in all of creation to sin that way. You know, I wasn't expecting that one. And yet we put these incredible limitations, if you will, on God, as if, yeah, but, the yeah, buts. Yeah, but you don't understand. You don't know where I've been. I'm filthy. I grew up in the church. I should know this by now. I shouldn't be feeling this way. I shouldn't have these thoughts. I shouldn't, whatever it was. And I remember when that broke through to me, and it was that empowerment, that, if you will, of the Word of God, where I realized, oh, man, He knows me. Hmm. He loves me. I've done some pretty lame things in my lifetime, and yet somehow, some way,
that's awesome.
There truly is there, therefore, no condemnation for those in Christ Jesus. Wow, that nothing in all of creation will separate us from the love of Christ Jesus. This is real. I can wrap my mind around this, and it's just common man stuff here. Oh,
yeah.
Oh, cool. All right, maybe I'm not as hosed as I thought,
yeah,
you know?
You know, it's so crazy that you say that, because I think so often we forget about that, especially as you go through the Word. As you were saying that, you think about guys like David, who obviously set someone up to be murdered, committed adultery. Moses was a murderer, you know? Obviously, God redeemed them, but they had their failures big time, and yet God used these men and women throughout the Word that it just transformed the world as we know it. But I love the honesty of the scriptures too. And I think, as we were talking about with the guys earlier, just that's the beauty of the Word. God is so honest with us. And He's like, this isn't something new. This is something I'm revealing to you. I'm honest with you. But here's the difference. And then He makes the change. And the beauty of someone like, I think of Abraham actually, where it's encouraging to me that realizing that he went out not knowing where he was going when he took those steps of faith, daily walking out, not knowing. God said, go west, and he started walking, and then God, you know, it was daily. And as you're mentioning, Steve, I love that, because that kind of revelation of that God is, he's not done. He is faithful even when we fail. And so often in our greatest failures is when God lifts us up and resurrects us. I think about Paul said, he made his prayer, may I experience the sufferings of Christ in order to experience the resurrection of our Savior, you know? And so there was failure, there was great suffering and pain, but we always know that after death comes life. God's going to resurrect it.
I think it's exactly what you were talking about, Real Troy, with somebody coming to Jesus Christ, and yet you're saying, all right, hey, now go live for 10 years and try and grow in that. And I think for all of us here who now truly can say, man, digging into Scripture and growing, it all comes down to the character of God. And I think for me as a child growing up, it was like, of course I know John 3:16. Of course I know these verses that I need to know to quote-unquote get me by, if you will, right? And yet there's so much in God's Word that daily shapes us, that should be shaping us, that if we actually get to understand His character, we probably wouldn't be surprised by His love or His grace or His mercy or His compassion, or the fact that He's a just God, or the fact that, you know, whatever attributes it is, if we don't have that Word of God, it's not tangible, if it's not in our life, as you said, I mean, how can we expect those in other parts of the world to grow in the knowledge of the holy if they don't have it? If they don't have it. And so I love that we're here.
And it really is. It is the passion of God for his heartbeat to be expressed to all the nations. There's just something about it, right? It happened in the book of Genesis where there was the Tower of Babel, and when he dispersed the languages. The Bible tells us in Acts chapter 2 that on the day of Pentecost, when the church was birthed and launched, the Bible says that every language under heaven was there that day. Mm-hmm. Now, that's, You know, I've read that many times, but it wasn't until recently when we were talking about technology and how accessible it is. And I'm like, really? Like, every language was there? So then, you know, I get on Google and I'm like, well, how many people were in the world in 33 AD? You know, and I type it up. And so, you know, somewhere around 300 million humans were on Earth, supposedly, about that time. And then you think of how many tribes and how many languages and how many family groups. And then out of those groups come different languages. And but isn't it interesting that at that moment in history, God said, okay, every language under heaven was there that day. Okay, now show up. Boom. And then he gives the command to the disciples. He says, now you go into the uttermost parts of the earth and preach this gospel and teach them what I have commanded you. And I've thought about that. How in the world did all the nations and all the people hear about it? And you think about, well, wait. Up until 33 AD, there was these crazy tyrants like Alexander the Great, right? He comes along, starts conquering people. He was a bad guy. And yet the Bible tells us that at that moment in history, through the wisdom of the ages, God shows up and starts the church at that moment. And how could that happen? Well, because Alexander the Great created this system, this Roman road system, right? But we even say it today. Have you ever heard the term? I don't know if you're too young. All roads lead to Rome. What the heck does that mean? Why do we say that?
Right.
But what it meant was is that as soon as the Romans would conquer a place, first thing they would do is build a road for a couple of reasons. One, they would do it for control, for military outreach, right? But they also did it for trade. They did it for commerce. They did it for... and for the first time in human history, because of the Roman Empire, everybody was speaking Greek. That was the common language, the business language, if you will. And for the first time in human history, all of the nations, tribes, and tongues had been converged. And now when the church was birthed, every language, tribe, and tongue had an opportunity to hear. And the Bible says in Acts chapter 2, every language under heaven was there that day. So you think, wow, even God uses the tyrants of the world to set up what his plan is for all of humanity. And then and think about that grace. Think about that goodness, as you guys were just talking about. So if God can use all these things in the world to accomplish his purposes, how much more can he use your life, regardless of your situation or your circumstances?
You know, it reminds me, as you were saying that, you got to even think in history, too. Before they even were all gathered in Acts 2, as you were saying, tyrants and world rulers that influenced the world. And you think about what is known as a diaspora, obviously, prior to that, where people were sent out from, you know, Jerusalem, but they were called to come back during that festival, the Pentecostal festival, the 50 days after from the Feast of First Fruits and all that. But it's interesting how God used all these different languages. Obviously, these people were born in different locations. During the time of great suffering, they were taken from their homeland, but when they were coming back to celebrate in Jerusalem on the day of Pentecost, the Holy Spirit comes down, breathes new life. You know, God's presence actually comes upon them as like it did in the temple.
Amazing.
Where his presence through the fire of tongues, you know, and they go out and preach to the world. I mean, it literally, when they go back home to their regions and their cultures, I mean, it influences... I mean, it changes the world as we know it.
And that makes me think about where we're at today. You know, when we think about the iPhone, when we think about the smartphone, when we think about the Internet of Things, when we think about cloud-based technology, we think about satellites, and I'm going, wait a minute, is this just a great big setup? You know, in the book of Revelation, the Bible says that the prophets will be killed in Israel and the whole world will see it at the same time. Mm-hmm. Well, how can that be?
Yeah.
And then you think about Habakkuk that said, that the knowledge of Jehovah would cover the earth as the waters cover the sea. Mm-hmm. How can that be? But you think about where we're at today and how everything's becoming interconnected. I mean, that thing in your pocket is telling somebody more about your behavior. Like they know, okay, GPS. Troy's going to stop at the Starbucks at San Mateo in Osuna by 8:25 every morning and make sure he gets a coupon in time because he's going there. You know, we know what he's going to do because this little phone's telling them.
Yeah.
And I think about the digital Bible platform and the room that you're in right now. For the first time in human history, 1,500 plus languages are in this digital system. First time in human history, 6 billion people speak the languages of the Word of God that's in the system. Now we just got to get it out to them. And I think about, is this just a great big setup? Like, the is digital technology the 21st century Roman road? I mean, is that what's coming? Yeah.
That's deep.
You know, it's pretty.
but correct me if I'm wrong, but in the Revelations, it talks about like the whole world has to hear before Christ's return. And so when I heard this on the radio this morning, I was like, oh, mm-hmm. well, there it is. Yeah. You know? Well, all right. Yeah, so that was awesome. That's really
It is awesome. It gives you chill bumps, doesn't it?
It does.
You know, I was having some fun the other day. You guys can do this, you know. How many of you have, like, the Google app, you know, where you can talk into your phone? And
sure.
And so it's kind of happening, like, right now. And it's happening in English, but it won't be too long before it'll be able to be done in every. So the other day I was just goofing around with Google, and I said, well, let me just ask Google. You know, kids will say, well, I don't know how to witness. I don't know what to. I said, well, what Siri. Are you talking about? Here, watch this. Yeah. Who is Jesus Christ?
According to who all Jesus, Romans 1-4, God and who through the Spirit of holiness was declared with power to be the Son of God by his resurrection from the dead, Jesus Christ our Lord. Comment,
that's pretty cool.
The sonship of Jesus was
So that's my phone. Right? No, you know?
That's my
Your phone. Just witnessed
Your phone just witnessed to you.
Yeah. Dude, some kids say, well, I don't know how to witness. Like, what are you talking about? Siri knows how to witness. What's your problem,
that's
man?
That's awesome.
We got to post that.
I want to meet somebody who found Jesus through Siri. Like, that is a testimony that's going to happen.
You know, someday we're going to go into these little villages. A missionary will show up. Hey, do you know who Jesus is? And they'll pull out their Android. Can I show Jesus? You know, cool. And beep. Oh, yes, I know Jesus. Yeah, I've heard about it.
Yeah. Wow. Siri just told me.
Yeah, absolutely cool. Incredible. Man, we're broadcasting live here at Faith Comes By Hearing, hanging out for the Language Release Celebration. It's a special edition of Theology Thursday, just digging in, talking about the Word of God. I love it, man, as we are celebrating the release of 9 new languages being recorded. I don't want to say translations, because it takes many, 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 many years to get a translation, and dependent upon the area, 6-8 weeks, maybe a couple months to get it recorded. But man, we're talking about places like India, Senegal, Indonesia, Nigeria, Chad, Ghana, other places I can't say because it's super James Bond top secret, but we're millions of speakers. In fact, the Marathi, is that it?
Mahati?
Oh, that's cool. Yeah. 68 million people speak that language. 68 million people, and this last Friday, Faith Comes By Hearing, you guys released a recorded translation of the Word of God to 68 million people. Now.
How do people, let's say, because I've been listening to the show too, even when it be prior to our Theology Thursday, but you know, how does one, let's say you financially want to give to this ministry, how do you do that?
Star88.fm is our website, and you'll see the banner
to support.
Immediately. Yeah, for Faith Comes By Hearing. In fact, excellent. We are partnering, trying to get a very specific language, the South Bolivian Quechua, trying to update that language because awesome. there is one recording right now, right? Or one or two recordings right now. But it's kind of like it's a different location. It's the King James. And so, you know, I'm just kidding. It's the old school.
I love the King James.
It's the old school. Yeah, but you know what? Not everybody's as learned as you, my friend. Yeah. So,
hey, word by word translation.
As the, Steve. As the. Yeah. Not everyone's learned it as the.
The, yes. So, so we're trying to update that for those that Bill said it, and it's just something that has stuck with me in the language that they dream in the language that they they can communicate in, and that and to hear the Word of God. And I just keep thinking about those people who have never heard the Word of God in their native tongue. And man, again, Bill, when we were talking about it, the idea that they hear the Word of God for the first time in their native tongue and realize, wait, God speaks my language.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
God doesn't just speak English or Spanish.
Let me tell you, when people discover that, I got to tell you a story, a true story. Yeah. So the Konkomba people in Ghana, Africa, the first time we recorded the Konkomba language, we went into the village and we said, we went to the chiefs, we said, hey, we have the Bible in Konkomba. They said, no, God doesn't speak Konkomba, God speaks English. I said, no, he speaks Konkomba, listen. And we pushed play. And it was as if the people couldn't believe it. They said, oh my gosh, God speaks Konkomba, gather the village. Wow. We can talk to God directly. We don't need a translator to talk to God. And they gathered the village together, and literally there were hundreds of people gathered around. The chiefs were on the front. Now, gather this, over 90% of the Concomas are illiterate. They don't have an opportunity to go to school. And I always tell people, look, they're illiterate, but they're not stupid. They just didn't go to school. They don't know how to read, but they are very smart. And one of the most powerful scriptures that transformed the Concomas is when they heard it for the first time in their own language. Missionaries had been there for a long, long, long time. And we brought the Bible, and they got to Matthew chapter 8. You know that story where Jesus casts the demons out of the demoniac and they go into the pigs? You've heard that story? You know, I went to Bible college, and, you know, I know things like, you know, I heard jokes like about deviled ham and stuff like that. But I really didn't understand what's the real meaning of this scripture. But one thing I've come to know, among every people group, there's some story that resonates with that people group, and it can transform them. So among the Concomas, as they were listening, they get to Matthew chapter 8, and all of a sudden they can't believe it, that the demons have come out of the demoniac, gone into the pigs, and then they go off the cliff. And all of a sudden the elders, they stop the discussion, they stop the plane, they go, why did Jesus cast the demons into the pigs? Didn't he know that it would kill the pigs? And they began debating just like Africans do, you know, and they're like, well, yes, the demons asked for permission. And then another guy raised his hand, he said, well, did he know that it would kill the pigs? I said, well, he's God. He knows everything. And they're arguing and debating. And a little business guy in the back says, well, did he reimburse the village for the pigs?
Wow.
Think about it. And that's when we realized, wait a minute, 2,000 pigs went off the cliff. And I didn't quite understand what are they saying? What does this mean? But see, in their culture, they herd communally. They have pigs. 10 of those pigs would be Steve-O's. 5 of those pigs would be mine. 20 pigs might be, you know, fake Troy over here.
I love
it. Think about it. 2,000 pigs. How much does a pig cost? Even today, how much is a pig? $800. Let's say it's $1,000.
I'm like, I don't know. Oscar Mayer bacon's stupid expensive.
Yeah, right.
It's like $8 for a package. Yeah.
So think 2,000. Your 2,000 pigs went off the cliff. So here's what this would be like. This would be like you and I going to church. Jesus shows up. We're transformed by it. We go out in the parking lot, and all of our Toyotas and cars are all loaded up and thrown over in the Rio Grande. Now, you want to go follow Jesus?
Wow.
What? And they were like, why would he do something so evil? So they debated and they argued and they couldn't understand why this would happen. And then the elders silenced the crowd, literally. Again, they're illiterate but not stupid. And they said, now you know we have a demon-possessed man in our village. And they go, that's right. And they said, and you know we'd rather he die than even one of our pigs. And they're like, that's right, he's worthless. And they said, we believe Jesus told us this story because the value of one man's soul is worth more than the whole economy of our village. And the people went, And it was Matthew chapter 8 that brought the Concomas to faith. And now there are over 2,000 churches planted among the Concomas because of that story. The story that you and I thought it was about deviled ham.
That story just got me resaved. So.
Yeah. And I'm hungry for a BLT.
I got like chills. Yeah. Like, oh my gosh, that just came alive. Yeah. Real Troy, will you hang out with us regularly? Seriously, yeah, he's already invited you.
You guys are fun. Your
story
good for me.
Rocked my world.
I just want to know, Matt, you have cats at home, right? And so do you think that God speaks cat language?
They are like pig language.
Quechua.
Contrary to what Skip says, cats are not representatives of the devil. Skip and I have had many debates.
This is actually true. Yeah. Oh, man. Amazing. This is incredible, and this is exactly why we are here, why we are highlighting Faith Comes By Hearing, why we have partnered, why we are, man, wanting to get a recorded language, a recorded version of the South Bolivian Quechua to that people group, because it's so powerful. I mean, in this 45 minutes, we've been discussing the Word of God.
Can I just say something that I'm thinking right now for your listeners? Maybe you heard that story, and I know for me, you were talking about grace and about falling and coming back, and there's a few scriptures that when the Word speaks to me, just like it speaks to the Concombas, now when I read the Bible, I say, God, make your stories come alive to me like they do to the... I know there's a story in here. I know there's a Word in here that's just for me. I don't have to be Concomba for you to give me that kind of revelation. Right. And one of them, you were talking about David and about, and you know, one of my favorite Psalms that literally transformed my life, because a brother told me once, he said, Troy, listen, when you sin, don't run from God, run to him. Mm. And I didn't quite understand that, right? Because I was always taught, you know, you got to be holy. And no, you don't understand. He died for the sins of the whole world. Your sins are like nothing compared to what the whole world's sin all combined are. And this is what David said. He said in the Psalms, he said, if you, O Lord, kept a record of sins, who could stand? But with you there is forgiveness, therefore you are greatly feared. Nobody
that.
Can stand.
Yeah.
Yeah. And he doesn't.
Yeah, like you said, I think that is so important. And like you're saying to our listeners, there, I think what shuts the voice of God off in someone's life oftentimes is the shame and the guilt that a person feels because of their sin. And maybe they've heard God's voice at one time in their life, and they knew, you know, and then they start to doubt, and maybe they've sinned or they're stuck in sin even now. And you can have somebody who, because of the shame and the guilt that will weigh that person down, it's almost like they feel closed off. And that's what the enemy wants to do, is keep them from hearing the voice of God. Like Steve-O said, hearing that the Lord say, I love you, you're forgiven, here's the grace that's poured out to you. My mercy is new every day for you. Yes. It begins all over again that day.
We should
all
pray
over
for somebody. We should pray for somebody right now, listening.
They're
like, that's me, man. That's me. I'm lost. I did it last night, and I need to get back. And I think the Lord's saying, come to me. Yeah. Don't run away from me. Come back to me. And just confess it right now and say, Lord, I thank you that I get up brand new. I get to start all over again. And I just turn right now my heart back over to you.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. And let me just add one other thing. As you're mentioning, you know, maybe someone is listening. Let's think about the power of God's word. The word of God, it says in Romans chapter 10, that if you confess with your mouth and believe in your heart the Lord Jesus Christ, that he was raised from the dead, believe that he is Lord, you can be saved. Because it says that, you know, with confession of mouth and believing in the heart. We oftentimes call it the ABCs of the gospel. When you can agree with God, as the letter A says, you can agree with what God has said about himself, that he is God, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. And you can believe what he said and agree with what he said about you, that you're a sinner, you need to turn from your sin, by believing the B of the gospel, believing that Christ, that his sacrifice was sufficient to forgive you of your sins. His blood covers all that sin. And then confession, the C. And then that is just speaking to God from your heart, saying, Lord, forgive me. That moment in time, the Holy Spirit indwells a person. The Bible says that at that moment, he comes in.
And maybe you feel like Steve-O, where you talked about a little earlier, about he just feels like there's too much failure. I've done too much. But how beautiful, as Jared, as you mentioned earlier, you know, look at Moses who killed someone. Look at David who killed someone. Look at all these people in the Bible that have done so wrong. And how beautiful that we serve a God who takes failures and turns them around. And like you said, Steve-O, our grace is new every morning, that there is a way out and that your failures can be redeemed. And that's the beautiful thing about grace. And that's what separates our faith, you know, from any other faith, is that we do nothing. It was already all done on that cross. Jesus Christ paid that price. So if you feel like a failure, if you feel like I've done too much, you don't know my story, man, let me tell you, we've in this room, if we wrote down our sins, I mean, it would blow your mind. And look at through the Bible, all the heroes of our faith failed. Look at Paul, who wrote the majority of the New Testament. He was Saul, who, you know, before he changed his name to Paul, he persecuted Christians. You know, he did so. We've all done so much. So if you feel like you're not good enough, let me tell you, there is a God and a Savior who says, I don't care.
Right.
I do not care. It was already paid for on the cross.
That's what's so powerful. What brought me back with that verse in 1 Corinthians 10, chapter 10, verse 13, where it says that no temptation has overtaken you that is not common to man, period. God is faithful, is the very next line. God is faithful. So maybe you're thinking, you know, if you are in that moment where you're just downtrodden, where you're like disgusted with yourself, with what you have done, past tense, God is faithful. God is faithful. And that's exactly why we are here. I, as we've been sitting here talking about the Word of God, the power of the Word of God, and getting it out technologically, because as you were mentioning, this people group was like fighting over this one story in Matthew 8 about the pigs. Think about
Think about the YouTube videos. Think about all the junk that is out there. Think about the people who have turned away from Christ because of maybe false doctrine, because of somebody who's out there just spewing garbage. Now think about the fact that we are doing something, getting the actual word of God out to somebody where they can hear for themselves, not just a spiritual advisor, if you will, in one of these people, or having it translated through a human being, but hearing the word of God in their ear and hearing it in their heart, the impact that has, just, I mean, from the stories this morning, blown away by how amazing God is.
And you know, like you said, and I think, you know, to just kind of cap going back to what we started with, I believe it is the revelation. When in that moment in time someone recommits their life to Christ, or they come to Christ for the first time, you can depend on the fact that God is going to speak to you. You're going to hear his voice. You're going to be able to follow him. He's going to give you the power to do that. You're going to have that power to obey the Lord because of it's his power really in you, right? And you're going to have revelation. God is going to reveal himself to you specifically through his spoken word, which is his son, Jesus Christ. And he's going to reveal himself moment, day by day, to be able to walk with him in that power and give you strength.
I hate that we have like 40 seconds left of the show, because this has been fascinating. I love it. Thank you guys so much.
Thank you guys.
Inviting us to be here, for hanging out, and just getting to see a glimpse of your day today.
Amazing. Yeah.
Yeah.
And just a little encouragement. Like, maybe you're out there and you're like, well, this all sounds really good. And I think the thing that rings truest to me is just the purity of this ministry, because as humans, we tend to, as we get used to things and then we want to figure out more and more, and we just lump stuff on top. But this is just truly a ministry that's just trying to get, you know, the word of God into the ears of people that haven't literally heard it. And so the purity of that is really special to me. And so you go to star88.fm and click on the banner. You can totally get involved.
There you go. Man, we are out of time. Steven, thank you. Chip got out of having to say anything. Good job, you. Bill Gilfil. Fake Troy David, really David, thank you, man. Yeah. All right,
real Phoenix Troy. Got stuck, I think, locked out or
Phoenix,
something.
Phoenix, he ran to get coffee and never came back. That's okay. All right, Jarrett, amazing as always. So that is it for us. We are on out. Middays with Tam on the way next. We still don't have a name for her show. Yeah. Get to Facebook.com/star88. Get your vote in on for what you think her show should be. And again, as always, check out star88.fm, the very main page, head banner. You can't miss it. Faith comes by here. Partner with us as we partner with them, and it's going to be absolutely incredible. I'm stoked for the future, guys. Party like rock stars every month here. All right. Yeah, it's happening. Cool. Just put it in my Google calendar. All right. Sweet. Well, that's it for us, Theology Thursday. If you missed any part of it, I implore you, go check out our website, star88.fm/Theology Thursday. You can download the podcast. It's absolutely free. On the way back, we got some Ren Collective. Stay with us. It's Steve-O and Teo and the AM.
Goodbye.